Sometimes we might feel like the prophet Isaiah. We're called by God to be disciples of his son. None of us here is in this church by accident. You've heard me say before that we're willed by God into existence, willed by love for love. And who are we? Who are we to deserve this great honor to receive the very life of Jesus Christ? Like Isaiah, we can say that we are a people of unclean lips and unclean lives, which certainly we can be. And we live among a people with unclean lips and unclean lives, and so we do. So like St. Peter, we can say, Lord, depart from us, we are sinful people, but Christ still says, no, I want you. You are chosen. Follow me. And Paul says, I'm the least of the apostles, not fit to be called one. I persecuted the church of God, and certainly all of us through our sins can say we have done this, that, or the other. Why would Jesus choose me? Because he loves you. And as St. Paul would further say, it's only by the grace of God that we are what we are. By God's grace alone, we are what we are, called by God to be a light to the human race. But as I mentioned last week, evil hates light. Evil hates love. Evil hates truth. And as I quoted St. Teresa Benedict of the Cross, who said, do not accept truth if it lacks love, and do not accept love if it lacks truth, makes us remember that truth and love go hand in hand. And you and I are to live and to proclaim the gospel of truth in love for God and love for those around us. Two things come to mind that happened in our state and our nation recently. The state of Louisiana repeatedly has tried to promote pro-life legislation in one way, shape, or form for years. And it seems like every time we try to make our state less accommodating to abortion, the federal government comes in to slam the door and puts up some kind of a barricade. It has happened multiple times. Most recently, our state, of which we can be very proud, okay, one of the most pro-life, if not the most pro-life in the nation, recently passed a law requiring abortion providers to have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Well, that makes sense. Abortion's not a good thing, obviously, but if people want to have abortion providers, which they claim is a medical service, well, then you want to make the procedure safe. You want to make sure that those who are performing abortions know what they're doing and should have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. It makes sense. But the bloodthirsty pro-abortion crowd would have none of this at all. They want nothing to get in their way of abortion on demand. In fact, they see abortion on demand as an inalienable right that everyone should have. And then the Supreme Court steps in. Our nation's quote-unquote Supreme Court sided with the pro-abortion crowd. Most notably, among the Catholics on the court, Chief Justice John Roberts, supposedly a Catholic, who sides with the more left-leaning judges in promoting and sustaining abortion laws. And how many times do we see in the political sphere so many of those who proclaim themselves to be devout Catholics, or at least Catholic in name, but do everything possible against the laws of Christ and the laws of the Church? Many New Yorkers recently, very ghoulishly and gleefully, celebrated their state's new abortion laws, virtually allowing anything and everything to happen to the unborn, up to delivery, and even then, after delivery, to murder a partially delivered child. The state of New York's quote-unquote Catholic governor signed this into law. It's barbaric, to say the least. Then you've got the governor of Virginia, not a Catholic, but a physician, a medical doctor. And not just any kind of doctor, a pediatrician, a medical doctor who treats children. And he was ready to sign into law a demonic bill that would have allowed a fully delivered child to be killed if the parents decided afterward that it would be the right thing to do for whatever reason. Thankfully, the right-thinking state leaders voted against it and killed the bill instead of killing Virginia's most vulnerable children. Only pro-lifers were happy about that. But the willingness of Governor Northam of Virginia to enshrine infanticide into Virginia law wasn't enough to warrant calls for his removal. Oh no. Instead, it was that as a young man in college, he may have participated in a kind of goofy role play that had racist overtones. That's what they wanted to get him out of office for. That's the horror. Now, don't get me wrong. Racism certainly is not good in any way, shape, or form. It's an ugly thing. But the goofiness of the governor in college absolutely pales in comparison to sacrificing innocent children on the altar of so-called equality to false gods of reproductive rights. But note, both racists and pro-abortionists have the very same outlook about human beings. In particular, certain human beings that neither side happens to like. Both the racist and the pro-abortionist will say to those they despise, "I don't want you. I don't like you. You are a hindrance. You are an inconvenience to me. I therefore no longer consider you a human being. You are to me a non-person. You are not equal to me, and you may not enjoy the same rights as I." Now, these people who say that know very well, deep inside their guts, that this is wrong and it's untrue. But they deny that. Instead, they say, "I want it to be right. I want it to be true. Therefore, I will plead my cause and vehemently plead my cause to make it legal, to make legal what is, in its very essence, absolutely immoral." That's how Jim Crow laws came into effect. And that's how Roe versus Wade came into effect. It's a lie, a denial of truth, a denial of reality. Christians, enough. Enough. You and I cannot stand by idly while mere human beings spit into the face of God and His commandments. It's time for that to finish. They turn into law their own selfish pleasures and desires. Human beings were not created for that. We were created for far more than just satisfying our selfish pleasures and desires. Created for far more than just satisfying our carnal, our fleshly desires and our appetites. We are made for more than mere pleasure. You and I were made by God to think, given minds to know Him and to love Him, to know all things that God wants us to know, truth, and to have it in the light of wisdom. But, as I said, evil hates wisdom. Not only are you and I made to think, we are made to live in honesty and integrity, but evil hates truth. We were made by God who is love, to love, honor, worship, and serve the God who is love, and to serve one another out of love, but evil hates love. So what are you and I doing to help those who are trapped in this cycle of sin and disbelief? What are you and I doing to teach others the truth? Oh, we complain. We complain an awful lot about how bad things are, and they are, but we never do anything about it. Do we pray for things to change? We like to complain about people in office, but we never pray for them to change. We never got to vote to replace them with people who actually have faith and moral integrity. We can do so much more with our prayer and with the offering of daily penances and sacrifices, as well as by our action, to make a change. As St. Paul says, "By the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, and His help, can you and I overcome our own personal wicked passions, and we ourselves live the commandments ourselves, so that we can enable others to do likewise." We can't be hypocrites and say one thing and do another, as so many quote-unquote Catholics do, who say that they're Catholic and live like pagans. So, why are we ashamed to carry our faith outside the doors of this church? We can't. The baptized, which includes all of us, can never, never live or act other than a baptized Christian. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are a servant of God the Father. You are a brother, a sister in Christ, of Christ, in whom Christ lives. We no longer belong to the world. We cannot think and behave as the world thinks or behaves. Instead, we are consecrated to God, and we must think and act like Him. When I was a kid, I heard a priest at a social event say, without his clerics on, that he could have a drink. Why? Because when I have the collar on, I'm a priest, he said. But when the collar's off, I'm a man just like everybody else. And you wonder why the church has problems with the clergy right now. It's that kind of mentality. No, Father, and I knew this even as a kid. You are a priest, collar on, collar off. In church, outside of church, vestments on, vestments off. You are a priest forever, according to the line of Melchizedek, as was told us in seminary over and over again. You are a priest no matter where you are, what you do. There's an indelible mark, a mark that can't be taken away from ordination. The same thing in baptism. Every one of us has the mark of Christ from baptism. We are Christians in church, outside of church. At home, in the public sphere, wherever we are the presence of Jesus Christ. Just as a priest is a priest forever by ordination, you are Christ forever by your baptism. And as St. Paul says, if we're trying to win man's approval, then we are surely not serving Christ at all. But why are we ashamed? Because we're cowards. And the world knows it and takes advantage of it. But when we finally decide to say to God, as Isaiah did, "Here I am, Lord, send me." When we decide to deepen our life of prayer and strengthen our friendship with Christ, then you're going to see your prayers for others, your friendship with them, bear great fruit. Have a close relationship with Christ yourself. Commit to following His commandments yourself. And let that friendship with others, your prayer for them, bear great fruit. It will happen by our encouragement and example. And only by that, by our encouragement and example, our words and actions, can you and I set the world ablaze with love for Christ. We must will it. We have to will it. We have to want it. We have to do it. To will the good of our community. To will the good of our state. To will the good of our nation, our world. To will it, want it, pray for it, and to work for it. Come, Jesus says. And have no fear. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.